and even better, you can make phone calls, believe it or not. You can actually make phone calls with this. And actually, that's its primary purpose. We buy these things not to surf the internet. We buy them so that we can actually use them to make phone calls. That's why cell phones exist. But what would happen if I took my mobile phone, and I called Verizon, and I said, I want to disconnect my phone from your mobile network, and they disconnected me. Now, all of a sudden, this incredible device would be left pretty useless. I mean, I could still take pictures and still look at the pictures and maybe even take video, but I wouldn't be able to make phone calls. I wouldn't be able to access my data network and check my email or go on the internet. It'd be kind of useless. It'd just be a camera, a nice camera. And a camera wouldn't be really that bad, but if you compare it to what it could be, all this would be is a really nice camera because it's not connected to that wireless network. And I don't know if any of you have ever had the experience of trying to find cell phone coverage, or you've been in a store. I know I walk into Target all the time, and by the time I hit, 10 steps back, the cell phone coverage drops. And if I'm on a phone call, I lose it. Or if I'm driving down the turnpike, there are like two or three spots on the way to Monroeville that the cell phone coverage drops. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but I do. I'm human. My cell phone coverage drops, and I'm like, oh! They're supposed to have the best coverage in America. And it's frustrating when you lose coverage, or you're walking around your house with your phone up in the air like this, trying to find that signal, because you just need to send a text message or check your email or make a phone call. And it can be incredibly frustrating when you're disconnected, when your phone is disconnected. And, we can actually learn a lot from our cell phones. This might sound crazy, but you can actually learn a lot from your cell phone. Not because you can go on Wikipedia and search the latest news or factoids on Wikipedia, but you can actually learn a lot from a cell phone. We can all learn a lot from a cell phone. And the thing that we learn is that when we're not connected, we can't function in the way we were created for. We don't buy phones to simply surf the internet, to simply take pictures. Most people don't. We buy phones so that we can use them as a phone. And the other things are added benefits. And for some of us in our lives, we're living lives that were meant to be mobile phones, and we're simply using them as a camera. And we think that's good and well, and, everything's fine, I'm paying my bills, or, I have a roof over my head and everything. But God's looking down on your life and saying, but you could do so much more. And maybe you're here this morning, and you've walked through those seasons where you feel just disconnected, where life seems to fall short. You maybe don't have your close friends around you like you used to. Maybe an influx of children into your marriage now all of a sudden has caused you to be disconnected relationally from other people, or even affected your relationship with your spouse. Or maybe you've graduated from college and you haven't been able to find that significant other that you've longed for. Or maybe your work has just been piling up. The workload at your job is piling up. And all of a sudden, you find yourself so disconnected from other people. All you can see is your work and the tasks that you have to get done. And you find yourself falling short. You find yourself feeling incredibly disconnected. And while you can't use your phone if it's not connected, the same is true with our lives. And the principle I want to share with you this morning is that life is fully lived when life is fully connected. Life is fully lived when life is fully connected. When it's connected, not just connected to anything, because, I could take my nice mobile phone here and try to connect it to my wall phone. Have any of you ever tried to do that? You'll soon find the connections don't quite work. If I try to connect this to a wall-mounted phone, nothing would happen. It wouldn't work. Well, mostly because the plugs wouldn't work. Because it's not just about being connected, it's being connected to the right things. Being connected to the right things. And believe it or not, the Bible actually speaks a lot about this idea of connection, of being connected. Many people write scripture off and say, this Bible, this book here is really outdated, and you know, it was written thousands of years ago and doesn't apply to our lives today. What could people thousands of years ago possibly have known about life in 2012? Well, the truth is, people 2,000 years ago or longer actually knew nothing about life in 2012. They didn't know anything. And fortunately enough for us, they weren't the ones writing the Bible. It was inspired by God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful. What that means is that Scripture actually applies to us today. And the Bible says a lot about this idea of being connected, of being fully connected. There's a story in the book of Acts, chapter 2, of a group of people. And this group of people went through an incredible roller coaster of emotions. I don't know if any of you have ever gone through a season in your life where the emotions are up and down and up and down. And one moment you're at this incredible valley, the next moment you're at this mountaintop experience, and it's just difficult and confusing. Well, this group of people had experienced that very thing. You see, these people had followed this man known as Jesus, the Son of God. And they followed him for 3 years as he ministered on the earth, did incredible things, miracles, raised the dead, caused the blind to see. I mean, just incredible things. And they heard his stories and the things that he taught, and they followed him. Many of them had given up everything to follow him. But there came a day where he was arrested, hung upon a cross, crucified in front of everyone. And I could imagine the emotion of defeat that they must have experienced. But 3 days later, that same Jesus rose again. And just a few short weeks after that, he ascended to heaven. And this group of people had gone through so much, a whirlwind of weeks. And now, in Acts chapter 2, 120 of them find themselves in this downtown room in the city of Jerusalem. And they're doing really what Jesus had told them to do. They're there praying, worshiping God, seeking God's face, seeking the heart of God. And as they're seeking God, something remarkable happens. They're in this room in downtown Jerusalem, and the power of God descends in their midst. And Scripture says that they were completely, fully connected. In fact, it says they were in one accord. They were so unified, so connected. And as the power of God fell and moved in their midst, God began to put into motion the first expressions of this incredible movement that we know today as the church. What we do here this morning, what we do here every Sunday, we can look back and thank this group of believers that were willing to be connected from different backgrounds, different experiences, but they were willing to push aside their differences to be connected because they understood the idea and importance of being fully connected. And as they experienced this moment in this room in downtown Jerusalem and the power of God fell, they didn't just leave that place and go and do their thing in isolation. But they understood the importance of not just being connected, but staying connected. And if you can turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42, we pick up and see what this group of people continue to do. In Acts, chapter 2, verse 42. Here's what it says. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Many of these people that were gathering were the outcasts of society. These weren't the well-to-dos. These weren't necessarily the elite of their community, of the city of Jerusalem. These were outcasts. These were tax collectors, fishermen, rebels, sinners, gathering together each day, gathering together on a regular basis and staying connected. They understood this idea that life is fully lived when life is fully connected. It's as if they had this cell phone and the whole time it was just being used as a camera And all of a sudden, their eyes were open to this whole new world that's actually meant to be a phone. Could you imagine giving this to a little kid and they grow up all their lives thinking this is just a camera? And they take lots of pictures, and they're taking pictures of everyone. Their grandma, their finger, a little ant in the dirt. They're getting pictures of everything. And all of their lives, they're taught this is only a camera. And then one day, when they turn 16, you share this great news with them. You know what? It's not only a camera you can take pictures of grandma with, but you can actually call her and talk to her. What a whole new world. Whole new world. And that's what took place for these early Christians. They had been walking through life in a certain way, and all of a sudden God opened their eyes. See, Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 10, he said, I have come that you might have life, comma. He could have put a period there. He could have said, you know, I have come that you can just have life, because I want you to have life. You know, I put breath in your lungs, and I want you to have life. But he said, I have come that you might have life, comma, and life to the full. That there is two different measures of life. You can actually walk through life, the mundane practices of life, and never experience the fullness of life. Do you know that? I know many of us have walked through life that way. You get up every day and you go to work. You punch the time card or whatever you do. You go through your emails. You do what you're required to do for your employment. And then at the end of the day, you leave and you go home. You eat dinner. You maybe watch the Steelers game as they win. And then you go to bed. And you do the same thing over and over and over again. And life becomes mundane. You're just existing. Life is nothing more than pure existence. But God created you not to just exist, not to just be a camera. He created you for more than that. He created you that you can live life to the full. That's what these early Christians were discovering. As they were connected, they were discovering this life to the full. Up to this point, for these early Christians, this idea that I have come that you might have life and have life to the full was nothing more than a promise. Jesus had spoken that to them, but they hadn't experienced it. Now, that promise had become a reality. They were now living a life that was full because they were fully connected to God and to each other. This full life. And that connection wasn't the result of just some random occurrence. It wasn't that you know, they were just walking the streets of Jerusalem and God just, boom, hit them with the power of God. And they all of a sudden discovered, oh, I need to be connected with other people and the power of God. And no, it was the result of a conscious decision that they made. This month, we're in this series called Ripple Effect. And we're talking about the idea that my decisions set in motion my destiny. Every decision that you make results in your future. My decisions set in motion my destiny. And the decisions that these early Christians, these early believers made, was a decision to risk their own lives. At this time in the first century in the Roman Empire, which is where this group of people lived, these people could be imprisoned, even killed, for worshiping Jesus, as they had done. They were risking their lives. They made a conscious decision to stay connected together and connected to God. And what did it do? It set in motion a destiny that today we are now living out. Because that group of people was willing, they were willing to stay connected. So they gathered together on a regular basis. They prayed. They spent time in the presence of God. They fellowshiped. They gave to each other. Because of the decisions they made to do that, they set in motion a destiny that today we are now living out. The church in the 21st century would not be what it is today if those people hadn't made that decision. And the same is true in our lives. We have the decision every day to either be connected or not be connected. We have the decision every day to wake up and not spend time in the presence of God. We have a decision every week to say, no, I'm not going to church. No, I'm not going to be part of a life group. Or I'm not going to be part of anything. I don't need to be connected. We have that decision every day. And our decision is going to set in motion the destiny of our lives. And what was the result of this connection? It was a pretty incredible life. If you read through those verses in verses 42 through 47, we see this early group of believers experience the miraculous. The miraculous as people are healed. The lame walk. The blind see. That's pretty remarkable. And not only that, generosity started to flow out of their lives. This group of people says that they gave to each other as they had need. And no one was in need. And among their group or even in the community, they were generous. These are things that we don't do naturally. We're not naturally generous people. We don't naturally give to those in need. But it says as they began to stay connected, the power of God was at work in their midst. And the miraculous took place. Generosity began to flow. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Daily those who are being saved. What an incredible, incredible history and destiny that they lay out. That was the result of the being connected. And getting back to this idea of your phone, wouldn't it be a shame if you spend all this money? You know, mobile phones today can cost anywhere from $50 to $400. Wouldn't it be a shame if you went to AT&T store or Verizon store or wherever you would go and you bought a mobile phone, you spent $400, you'd saved up for months, and you spend $400 and all you use the phone for is a camera. That's all you use it for. You could have spent that $400 on a lot better camera than your phone. But think about it this way. A number of years ago, God formed you in your mother's womb. He shaped you. And as He is forming you and shaping you in your mother's womb, He's putting your DNA together, your personality, your gifts, your abilities, your passions. The things today that bring you the most joy once brought God incredible joy before you were even born. He looked down on you before you were created. And He looked at you with joy and excitement of what you would one day become. He was so excited. Scripture says that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. It was a great day when God formed you in your mother's womb. But what a shame it would be if just as you, your life, never experienced the fullness of what you were created for because you're not willing to be connected. It's as if you just place your cell phone disconnected on the shelf. Never really be used for what it was made for. That's what our lives sometimes can become. Because we try to go it ourselves. We try to go it alone. That's what we're taught in our culture. Whatever I can get for myself is what I deserve. No. The Bible teaches something completely the opposite. Life fully lived is a life that's fully connected. Yeah, for some personalities, you know, as Tom mentioned, that those that are introverted, it can be difficult. We understand that. That's why we don't have large groups. We have small groups. Because it's easier to connect with people relationally, to get to know people. And it's not only just to get to know people, but to go through Scripture and learn what it means to follow God together. Because a life that's fully lived is one that's fully connected. And when those 120 believers gathered in that downtown room in Jerusalem, I would venture to guess they never imagined what would become of that decision. You know why they were in this room in downtown Jerusalem? Their doors were locked. They were worried Roman soldiers were going to come in and arrest them all. They were worried. But as they're pushing into the presence of God, little did they know the decision that they had made would set in motion this remarkable destiny. Within less than 100 years, that 120 group of believers would number thousands. And not only in just the city of Jerusalem, now all over the known world. Churches existed all over the world. You can read through the New Testament and through the book of Acts, and you see as these churches are started all over the Roman Empire and the known world of that day. Because these group of believers made the conscious decision to stay connected, to be connected. And we have that opportunity as well, to be connected. It all started with making the choice to be connected to something bigger. So what does that look like for you and I? You see, these believers in Acts chapter 2 lived in the first century, Roman Empire. We live in the 21st century, American Empire, country, United States of America. We live in a different world today. But the principle is exactly the same. That life is fully lived and life is fully connected. What do we do? We have this opportunity this week to join the life group. I'm not saying this is just a commercial, but our life groups are built around the same model that we saw and we see in Acts chapter 2. We created our life groups, and we have created our life groups with the intention to helping people to be a place where you can be connected, challenged, and encouraged to live life to the full. That's why we have our life groups. We don't just do these so we can have another program and so we can fill our busy schedules with another activity. That's not the intention at all. We have life groups because we understand our desire is to help you live life to the full every day. We want to help you experience God every Sunday, that you can experience the presence of God and experience Him every day. But we also want you to embrace that life. Embrace life to the full. To say, you know what? My life was created and placed in this earth for more than just existence, for more than just walking through life and just taking things as it happens. No, I'm going to take life by the horns and I'm going to live life to the full. What Jesus died for, what God created me for, I want to live life to the full. When we're willing to have that passion to live life to the full, God can launch us and set us in motion, this destiny that is far beyond anything we could imagine. Those 120 believers never would have dreamed the millions of people today that worship Jesus all over the world because of their decision to stay connected. You don't know the many lives that could be touched in the generations to come through your influence because you choose to be connected. Because you choose to say, yes, I want to be part of a life group. Yes, I want to be part of a group of people that are going deeper in their walk with God. They're strength challenging and encouraging, and connecting to live life to the full. That's the life that we want you to live. That's the life that I hope you want to live. Because that's what I want to live. That's what Jesus created us to be. You may be here today and life seems like it's falling short. It seems so disconnected. This is a great opportunity. It's not you're signing your life away. It's saying, for the next 11 weeks, I want to be part of a life group. They're here at the church, so you don't have to go to someone's home. You know the facility already. There's childcare. Everything's provided. We try to remove all of the excuses so that you can say, yes, I want to be part of a life group. This is an incredible opportunity. And wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome if this one day was said of Calvary? That they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Wouldn't it be awesome if that was said of Calvary? That we are gathering together on a regular basis and we're experiencing the favor of all the people. That we're seeing the miraculous and the power of God at work, not just in our church on Sunday, but we're seeing the power of God at work in your workplace, at work in life groups, at work in everyday life. You know, I heard the quote recently that revival in the 21st century isn't going to take place on a Sunday. Revival in the 21st century is going to take place Monday through Friday. And I am so, so convinced of that. If revival is going to take place Monday through Friday, it's going to start with being connected. Because the very first revival started with a group of people that were fully connected in that downtown room in the city of Jerusalem. And this morning you have the opportunity to be fully connected. Fully connected. In a few moments we're going to be receiving our tithes and offerings, and you're going to have the opportunity in your communicator to sign up for a life group. And there are a lot of different opportunities there. Before we get to that, though, I don't want to rush through this moment. You may have come to Calvary this morning, and maybe you've been to church a number of times, and maybe this is just old hat to you, and it's so common. Maybe this is your first time here at church. Regardless, you've never made a decision to be connected to a God that loves you. We talked about during communion that Jesus gave everything. He paid the price for you. You've never experienced that forgiveness. You've never made the decision to say yes to Jesus. You've been kind of just coasting through life. But you want to live life to the full today. You want to discover God's potential for your life through the person of Jesus Christ. And if that's you this morning, before we move on, I don't want to rush through this. I want to give you the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand. We're going to pray together in a moment. If that's you this morning, anyone else? I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Anyone else? Let's pray this morning. And for those of you that raised your hand, I encourage you to pray this from your heart. And I ask everyone just to follow me as I lead us in this important prayer of commitment, this prayer of surrender to God. Let's pray. You can just follow my lead this morning. Dear Jesus, thank you for the sacrifice that you made in coming and giving your life so that I can live life to the full, so that I could be connected to a God that loves me and a God that has a purpose for me. Today, I say yes to Jesus. I say yes to his purpose. I say yes to the future he has for me. Give me the strength and the courage to follow him. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you that raised your hand, or maybe you didn't, you prayed that prayer, I'd encourage you on your way out, stop by our Connection Center. We have some resources for you to help you take those next steps in your walk with Jesus. And for everyone else, as our service attendants come forward, if you haven't signed up for a life group, maybe you're debating whether or not you should, I challenge you. Live your life to the full. Allow yourself to be fully connected this morning as you're part of a life group. Let's pray for our offering today. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to give back to you. But more importantly, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be connected, Lord, to be connected to your church, to be connected to others who believe in us. And Lord, I pray for our life groups as we launch this week, Lord, for your blessing, for your power to be evident in every group, Lord. Lord, big and small, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit begin to work just as you did in that first group of people, Lord, in that upper room there in Jerusalem. And Lord, I pray that you would just, God, multiply not only our resources, but Lord, multiply our influence. God, that we can see people added to our numbers daily, those that are being saved, Lord. God, I thank you for your goodness, and I thank you for your provision. In Jesus' name, amen.